Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Windy City Chronicle podcast. I am your host, Thomas Gibbons. Today's show, we will be talking all things Chicago Bears. We will have Jacob Infante on, our reoccurring guest on today's show. Jacob Infante has written for Cover32.com, covering the Bears. And he is also a writer now on SB Nation's Windy City Gridiron. You can follow him on Twitter, at JacobInfante24. A lot of great stuff, and love having him on the show, reoccurring guest. So at this time, let's bring on Jacob. Hey, Jacob, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. So today, the Bears back at practice, first practice of the week, getting ready for the Atlanta Falcons. We got some good news out of practice today. John Fox said that Pernell McPhee is in the best shape he's ever been with the Bears and at the lowest weight. Do you think that he will be on the field Sunday?
If he is, I wouldn't expect him to be, you know, out there for a whole lot of time because he's still, you know, he's missed all the practices, so he obviously needs to, you know, get caught up in the swing of things. So I think he will play. I just don't expect it to be that much.
Yeah, I go with that. He's missed a lot of time, probably, you know, some conditioning and just getting with the defense. So I'd probably say limited reps, so that means more reps for Leonard Floyd, Willie Young, and then I expect probably, you know, a good amount of reps from Sam Acho as well.
Yeah, and it's especially good that McPhee's coming back now because we don't know what the situation is with Lamar Houston, the whole injury settlement thing. And now because of that, the depth that they have at edge rusher is, you know, not all that impressive. You know, you and I were talking about it, you know, privately on Twitter DMs. But if you look at it, you got Leonard Floyd, an injured Pernell McPhee, and Willie Young probably going to start tomorrow. And then Sam Acho isn't necessarily a type of guy you want on their defense a whole lot. He's more of a special teams type of guy. So... sorry about that. Obviously, having McPhee out there full strength is critical for this defense.
Yeah, I agree. Just looking at the depth chart, you only got McPhee, Sam Acho, Floyd, and Willie Young. So you're really only four deep at the outside linebacker position rather than five with Lamar Houston. It's a big difference. There's one thing for certain, you can never have enough pass rushers. So it's definitely something to watch how much McPhee gets time and how quickly he's able to get 100% healthy going into the start of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I was a bit surprised. You know, we're going to dive into the 53-man roster a bit more later on, but I was a bit surprised that they didn't keep Isaiah Irving on the main roster because, you know, obviously Houston's down, McPhee's not at full strength, and I just thought they'd keep him on the 53-man roster just as, you know, just to have him on his depth. But, you know, obviously they chose to keep him on the practice squad. So we're going to – it's going to be interesting to see how they manage their rotation on Sunday.
Yeah, Irving definitely had a good preseason, a good camp. It was kind of surprising. But the Bears obviously wanted to keep him around, put him on the practice squad, and continue to develop him because he could be a nice centerpiece for the future. Some more news coming out of Bears camp today at House Hall. Marcus Wheaton is back at practice, but John Fox said he is only catching Nerf balls. He's not catching real footballs as he's recovering from his fractured pinky. So I'd say that's a big sign that he won't be available week one.
Yeah, I agree there. And they're going to need him to come back as soon as possible, just considering how thin the Bears are at receiver now, especially with Meredith gone. So, you know, I don't expect him to play next week, or this week, I should say. But the sooner they get him back, I'd say the better.
Yeah, I'd say the Bears wide receivers are the lowest in the league, or not last in the league, in just first off at the eye test and then what they've done on the field. You know, Kevin White's still unproven. Marcus Wheaton and Kendall Wright have had, you know, okay careers, but again, their health has always been some sort of a question. Josh Bellamy he's been around the team for a long time, but again, more of a special teams player, and, you know, has a lot of drop balls, especially last season in big time games or big time chances to put the ball in the end zone. And Deontay Thompson's more of a kick return specialist. So the Bears, again, with Meredith gone, they really lack a true wide receiver at the position.
Yeah, I agree there. You know, obviously, Thompson and Bellamy are, I'd say they're more on for their special teams ability than the receiving ability, because let's face it, neither of them are going to be, you know, stars in this league by any means. But yeah, I'm thinking what you said earlier about how the Bears receivers are the worst in the league. You could make an argument for that. I'd say it's either down to them or the Jets, because, you know, Jets wide receiver number one, I believe right now, is Robbie Anderson, who's a guy I barely know anything about. I just know him because he's their top guy. But the Jets at least have some promising rookies. They've got Ardarius Stewart and Chad Hansen. But the Bears don't really have any sense of direction with this current group. I mean, once Meredith comes back, it's definitely going to help out. But like you said, White's a question mark. You know, Wright and Wheaton, they're wide receiver threes at best. And then Thompson and Bellamy, you know, just special teams guys. Then, you know, Trey McBride, who they just picked up, I think, yesterday. Haven't seen a whole lot of him. I think he only has, like, two receptions or something like that, if I remember seeing that. So, yeah, they're not at a good position there. They can use all the help they can get.
Yeah, and the Meredith injury really killed them, because then, you know, you would have Meredith as your one, and then you would have a lot of good supplemental wide receivers, you know, to back them up. But now you really, you know, you don't have a true number one unless Kevin White really emerges this season, and then your depth just gets, you know, it's not as good as it was even with Meredith at the number one position.
Yeah, I agree there. Having Meredith definitely would have made the depth chart look a lot stronger, because now they're putting, you know, these guys that would be just like rotational pieces in more prominent roles in the offense. Like, you know, Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton probably wouldn't have as big a seasons as they probably will this year if Meredith was still healthy. So it's going to be interesting to see who steps up for the Bears this year, because, you know, like you said, considering the state of their offense, they need it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw with the 53-man, they have four tight ends and a fullback, so they obviously are going to be a run-heavy team, and Coach Fox reiterated that today. Going back to Trey McBride, he was one of three players the Bears claimed off waivers yesterday, with Andrew DePaula, a long snapper, and then a running back, Taquan Mizzle, who went to Virginia, as one of the top pass catchers there in the history of their school. So the Bears obviously got two guys with upside. McBride mostly played special teams in his first 2 years in the league. I was reading Brad Biggs' piece in the Tribune, mostly as a punt gunner, or, you know, he had some kick return value. So it's unsure if he'll be getting some snaps at wide receiver to start the season. He'll definitely have to have a big role on special teams, as all backups in the NFL do. Taquan Mizzle, again, the Bears are now, we've seen with the draft pick of Tariq Cohen, and now with Mizzle, the Bears want some more versatility out of the backfield that Kadeem Carey and Jeremy Langford really didn't give to the team. So it's good to see Ryan Pace doing his homework and really, you know, making the team, building the team for the future with a lot of young, promising players.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't really know a whole lot about the three guys that the Bears, you know, added yesterday. You know, like you said, Trey McBride hasn't proven a whole lot as a receiver as of late. I assume that his role in the offense will, you know, be more significant than it was in Tennessee. Taquan Mizzle, I think, is an interesting addition because, like, he lit up the preseason and he proved that he can run the ball and, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield. And considering the fact that they were willing to part with Jeremy Langford for him, I think that shows that they really valued him and they, you know, really wanted to get him when he hit the waivers. And then the new long snapper, obviously I don't know much about long snappers, so I don't know what to say. If he can snap the ball well, it's a good addition, I guess.
Yeah, there's really not too much stats or explanations that go into long snappers. You just got to have consistency at the position because, you know, it's one of the most important positions when you're talking about punt and field goals and things like that. You need to have a consistent guy in there. You know, I think, what was it, last year the Bears went, they had a long snapper and then they got Scales. So if you're not going to, if you're not consistent at the position, you're obviously going to get let go like any other position in the league.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize how important long snappers are, especially, you know, on like field goals, because like one bad play and that screws you up completely. So they need, you need consistency at the position every single play. Whereas like if a quarterback throws an incomplete pass, you know, it's fine. But if a long snapper messes up a snap and the play's destroyed, and that can really change momentum for what goes on in the game. So, you know, like I said, I don't know much about the new guy, Andrew DePaula, I believe. But, you know, if he can snap, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Much agreed there. Another piece from practice today. DeAndre Hall, second-year player, is the ninth player now this year for the Bears to have placed on IR. He will be eligible to return mid-season. Obviously, a lot of upside with Hall. We still haven't seen much on the field from him, but he was practicing safety in camp and preseason, so he obviously has the versatility to play corner or safety as the Bears see it. So if he's eligible, you know, if he's eligible to return mid-season, and hopefully he does, he could obviously see, you know, I'd say maybe a good amount of snaps, especially if the Bears are not winning games or, you know, guys like Prince Mukamura, you know, are banged up again.
Yeah, I agree there. DeAndre Hall is going to be an interesting player for this defense. Whenever he comes back, I'm interested in seeing how Vic Fangio works with him because obviously he, you know, Hall's got that frame, 6'2", 206, I believe. And that, you know, Fangio likes to work with. And, you know, health has been a bit of an issue for him starting off the year. He only played eight games last year, and now he's starting the season on IR. So, I mean, I think it's not a good start for him, but it's one he can come back from because, you know, Fangio, like I said, likes those big defensive backs. So I'm interested to see how they work with him when he comes back.
Yes. Yeah, definitely his battled injuries last year was his ankle, and now, I forgot what did he hurt. I forgot what he hurt this time.
I honestly don't remember either. I'll go check.
See if I can find it here. Hamstring. So obviously,
okay.
A pretty bad hamstring to be placed on IR for half the season. Hopefully he can come back from that and give the Bears some sort of a look, whether it's on defense or special teams. And lastly, out of Hallis Hall today, Coach Fox announced the captains, Mike Glennon, Josh Sitton, Drell Freeman, Quentin Demps, and Cher McManus. And then he also declined to say who would back up Glennon in week one versus the Falcons. Right now my hunch is on Mark Sanchez. I'm sure Sanchez, even though he got less reps than Trubisky in the preseason, I'm guessing he will back up Glennon because the Bears are still set on developing Trubisky in his first year in the league, not forcing him on the field unless they really have to. So I would expect, yeah, Glennon is a starter, Sanchez is the backup, and probably we'll see Trubisky inactive because, again, they don't want to get him on the field and they don't want it to come to a point where he's in the uniform and, you know, they have to put him on the field.
Yeah, and I've been with the narrative that they should sit Trubisky, but given what I saw in the preseason, it's clear that, you know, he knows what he's doing out there. And even though he didn't really play against the highest level of competition, he still was very impressive. And, I mean, I think they should still start Glennon as they are, but I would not be opposed to Trubisky, you know, taking over eventually, especially if Glennon, you know, doesn't impressed this year, but ultimately I just think it's whenever he's ready, because like you said, it's bad to rush a quarterback's development, especially this early in his career, and given the supporting cast that the Bears have right now, I don't know if it's it would be good for him to start right away, because they don't really, you know, have much in the way of receivers to throw to. So, I mean, honestly, I just think that the best thing that the Bears can do is just wait it out for him.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that much. It wouldn't be that great of a position to put him out there, you know, when you're trailing or down, you know, trailing, and again, you don't have a lot of weapons to throw to. You know, right now I'd say the only proven two guys on the Bears receiving core is Kendall Wright and Marcus Wheaton. Everybody else still has a big question mark if they can really produce at a high level at the wide receiver position. And the one guy that Trubisky really connected with was Tanner Gentry, but he unfortunately is not on the 53-man roster. He's on the practice squad, which is I'm glad the Bears are able to retain him. He can develop in the practice squad and probably has a really good chance of making the 53-man next year if, you know, Trubisky ends up starting next year and they don't like what they see from Glennon, so it's going to be all about the rookie next year. I'm going to be ready for Sanchez to be the backup, and I wouldn't be too worried or concerned if Trubisky's inactive for the first couple games of the season, depending on how Mike Glennon's performance is.
Yeah, I think that the Bears are playing the right card by being conservative with, you know, Trubisky's progression. And, yeah, I expect Sanchez to be the second starter, the backup to Glennon, I should say. And I don't know necessarily if I would do that, but, I mean, I understand what they're saying. They should, you know, they shouldn't force his development by any means, so... You know, just as long as they feel confident in Mike Glennon as the starter, I'm fine.
Yeah, for sure. We don't want to push anything with the franchise QB, and I'm sure Ryan Pace is going to be very into the process with how Trubisky develops and his playing time and how, you know, he is involved with the coaching staff on do we put Trubisky in this season? You know, we're going into a big week with Glenn and Hurt. Are we really going to start Sanchez over Trubisky? I'm sure it's going to be a subtle storyline to follow during the whole season.
Yeah, I agree with you there, yeah, for sure.
So we went over today's practice, but for the majority of the podcast today, I wanted to get a little bit to the 53-man roster. First off, I want to ask Jacob, who were you surprised that got cut?
I was surprised that Gentry didn't make the 53-man roster because, you know, like you said, he had a good relationship with Trubisky and he looked really impressive, especially in training camp. Considering the receivers that made it over him, I mean, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because if you look at White, Wright, and Wheaton, I think we're the only locks to make it onto the 53-man roster. You know, Cruz got cut. I thought that was going to be Gentry's opening, but... You know, Josh Bellamy and Deontay Thompson, they chose special teams value over receiving upside, which, I mean, I understand, but I don't think they need two receivers who specialize on special teams, especially considering how thin they are at receiver. If I were Ryan Pace, which, you know, obviously I'm not, I trust what he's doing, but I would have given Gentry a spot on a 53-man roster just because – he has more upside than any of their backup receivers at the moment.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Special teams is very important in the league, as we've seen over the past couple of years. And it's important, like guys like Sherry McManus and Bellamy, who are probably two of the best Bears players on special teams with their leadership and their playmaking ability on whatever unit they're on. But yeah, taking up two wide receiver spots who, you know, really didn't play a whole lot of wide receiver last year. You question it to say the least. But, Gentry's on the practice squad, so, you know, obviously he had playmaking ability, but there's something there that they don't like. Maybe it's his route running ability or just knowledge of the system that, you know, he's not up on the 53-man roster. But he could be promoted at some point. We all know that Marcus Wheaton and Kendall Wright have not been the most consistent with staying healthy during their careers. So we could see Gentry up at some point because, again, the Bears are low. So we need Nah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying I personally think Gentry didn't make the roster because he didn't prove enough on special teams. And as you can see by the people that they added to the roster over him, that they value special teams and their receiver depth for sure. And so I think that, you know, maybe if Gentry worked a bit more on special teams, he probably would have made the roster. You know, I would have had him on either way, but I think that a little more effort in that, you know, area would have probably gotten him over the hump.
Yeah. Yeah, most backups in the league like Gentry would have had to have some sort of experience or some sort of, you know, show the coaches he's valuable on special teams to make the roster spot. Because, again, guys like Sam Acho and Deontay Thompson, Bellamy, all the backup guys, backup linebackers, backup defensive backs are going to have to play a role on kickoff return. So you got to show the staff that you can play there if you want to, you know, be kept around.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of the backups, you know, looking at the depth chart, they have special teams value. Like you said, Thompson, Bellamy, you know, McManus. And, you know, you're going to have other guys like Roy Robertson-Harris probably. You're going to put him on a, you know, punts or, like, put him on the front line maybe for, like, kickoff or something. And, like, a lot of those guys are going to have to prove their special teams value. And I just think that if, you know, if Gentry worked on that, he would have made the team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So you said Tanner Gentry you were the most surprised got cut. For me, I agree with you with Gentry. I thought he had a good chance of making the team. But when the cuts were announced, I was surprised that the Bears let go Jay Howard Jr., defensive end.
Oh, yeah.
I was high on him when the Bears signed him, just going over some tape and what he did in Kansas City. I thought he fit in nicely with the Bears. You know, not too many miles on him. I think I don't remember if he was under 30 or not. But he was recovering from a hip injury. That's the reason the Kansas City Chiefs let him go. But he passed his physical with the Bears, and he was on the way up with getting healthy. I just really think it came down to he didn't show a lot in the preseason. He didn't make plays as guys like Board and Roy Robertson-Harris did. So he didn't really fit into the mold of the Bears defense. But I thought maybe he would have a good chance of making the squad just as, you know, being a veteran and the playmaking ability that he had last year in Kansas City.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised by that too. I thought that he was going to play, you know, a big role on the defense. I personally thought that Mitch Unrain was the one who was going to be cut. But, you know, seeing now that Unrain and Fox have that really good relationship, apparently, I mean, it makes sense why he's still on the roster. But, yeah, I was a bit surprised that they didn't keep Jay Howard on, considering how much, you know, upside there is. He proved that when he's healthy that, you know, he can be a solid starter on the defensive line. So, I mean, I think he's going to find work quickly. But, you know, I'm just surprised he didn't make the 53-man roster for the Bears.
Yeah, before training camp and during training camp, everyone was, you know, speaking the narrative of, you know, Mitch Unrain should get cut or Zach Miller should get cut just because there was younger guys in the position. But Mitch Unrain actually had, you know, I'd say better tape than Howard during the preseason, whether it was health or just getting on the field more because of the coaches. So I'm not worried that they kept Unrain. I think he had a good preseason. And he's a good rotational player. Not saying he's going to get a lot more looks as, say, you know, Bullard or Roy Robertson-Harris will get. But he should be a nice guy to rotate in every once in a while.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And they had him play – they had him start a couple of games at defensive end last year. I don't remember exactly how many off the top of my head. But, you know, he's proven that he can, you know, start and he can be solid. You know, he's not great by any means, but he's a serviceable player. So, I mean, I think he's going to start the year off as a starter. I wouldn't be surprised if Jonathan Bullard took over across from Akeem Hicks. But, yeah, I think Unrain is being looked at as the day one starter on that defensive line.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind him starting. I would obviously like to see, you know, go more for the young guys. I would like to see maybe, you know, Hicks and Bullard in there. But I think those two will eventually play a lot together, and they'll see a lot of, you know, Bullard's going to see a lot more time on the field than Unrain over time just because of, you know, age. And Unrain did miss 3 games last year, so I remember he was a little up and down with the injuries. So hopefully Bullard can stay healthy because then that will give him a lot of time on the field.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And he was very impressive in the preseason, which I think is a good thing because he didn't really prove a whole lot in his rookie year. So I think this sophomore year for him is going to be pretty important as far as his development goes. And, you know, a lot of people write him off because, you know, obviously 2016 draft class is so great because, you know, Leonard Floyd, Cody Whitehair, and Jordan Howard all, you know, had fantastic production right off the bat. And Bullard didn't really do a whole lot, you know. So a lot of people have been kind of writing him off and aren't putting him on the same level as those guys. But I think he can eventually develop into a long-term starter there. So, you know, this season's going to be pretty telling in how his future is going to be at the team.
Yeah, I really hope he develops as well. The Bears should be, I'd say, re-signing Akeem Hicks, whether it's this week or sometime soon in the future. And Hicks and Bullard at the edges on the defensive end spots. Excuse me. On the defensive end spots should be pretty good for that defense.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why they haven't extended Hicks yet at this point. I mean, I would have done that months ago, if not weeks ago. But, I mean, I think he's proven enough to get an extension. Maybe they want to see if he's not just a one-year wonder and see if he can, you know, consistently be productive for them. But I think that re-signing Akeem Hicks should be their top priority. I don't want to get this off-season, but in the coming month.
Yeah, he had – last year was his best year in the league so far, in my opinion, as probably a lot of other people would say so as well. The Bears still have 16 – Bears still have $16 million left in cap room right now, so I'd say that a deal is, you know, forthcoming in the week or, again, like you said, in the coming months. I don't think he's really a one-shot wonder. He had a good, you know, again, a good camp, stayed healthy preseason. But now, you know, getting into week one, you're playing against the starters all the time. So we'll really have to see how he does this year. But, you know, he's not just a good player on the field. He's, you know, he's a leader in the locker room, and you got to keep those guys around. So, yeah, I'd say extension has to be coming soon. They've been in talks all offseason. His agent has been down. Bourbonnais, his agent's been out at games. So I'm saying, I mean, I'd say it's closer than it was, I'd say, a month ago.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just hoping that they get him down quickly because he's probably going to be a hot commodity for a lot of teams that run 3-4 in free agency next offseason.
Yeah. He would definitely, once he hit the market, would be, again, if he has a great year again, a lot of teams would be asking for him. Going on to week one, another guy who's in question of playing is Kyle Lawn. We all know the Bears' best offensive line is when Lawn's at guard and sitting at the opposite guard, and you got Whitehair at center. I don't hate Grasu, but I think that Whitehair's future in the league is at center, and he needs to play there most of the time. I really don't want to see him at guard because I know he played that in college, but now in the NFL, I'm not really that big of a fan of Grasu out there and Whitehair at guard. I'd rather have the healthy line of Kyle Lawn. So there was a report today that, you know, his status could be made on Sunday, you know, just almost right before kickoff. So he's a guy who's going to be in question. Again, extension last year. The Bears really need him healthy.
Yeah, I agree for sure that the Bears' offense runs best when Kyle Long's out there. And like you mentioned about Grasu, I mean, sure, he's still got some upside. He's a young guy. The Bears should put Cody Whitehair at guard just to put him in. I mean, obviously Whitehair was fantastic at center last season. And, you know, worst case scenario, if either Long or Sitton goes down, they could move Whitehair to guard, but I wouldn't force him there because, you know, from what it seems like, center is his future in the NFL. So, you know, obviously I'd keep Grasso around just in case, but I think Whitehair is going to be their long-term center.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. You know, what really hurt the Bears here is I think, you know, the Bears aren't necessarily going to push Lon back to get week one, but they would like him back week one. What's really hurting him is that Eric hurt. And if Eric Kush was still around, Whitehair would easily beat center and Kush would step in at guard. He played a fair amount last year and did pretty well for the Bears to give him a contract extension this offseason. So the torn hamstring, I think, really hurt the Bears' depth.
Yeah, I agree. Kush would have been a very valuable piece in the Bears' depth on the offensive line because he can play both center and guard. And looking at what they have now, Grasso, you know, a pure center. I know they had him work out at guard a bit, but I don't think that's where he's going to play in the future. Bradley Soule, I don't know a whole lot about him. I don't believe he can play guard. I think he's just strictly a tackle. You know, Tom Compton's pretty much their only like versatile piece that they have on the bench. So you can play both tackle and guard, which that's a bit concerning because, you know, you've got two guys on the offensive line who can only play a certain position. And, you know, personally, if I were running a team, I'd want my backup offensive line to be able to play multiple positions. So if someone goes down, you'll be in good hands no matter what. So, yeah, I mean, Kush definitely would have helped out, and I don't know if Grasso would still be on the roster if, you know, Kush were healthy. It could have been, but I wouldn't be as confident.
Yeah, I think the Bears would have still kept Grasso, in my opinion, maybe just as another backup centerpiece. I'd say probably Bradley Soule would have been gone if Kush was healthy.
Yeah, I don't personally know a whole lot about Bradley Soule, like I said. So I do know he started a bit in Seattle, which, you know, isn't saying much, but, you know, he's a starter. It's good enough. Yeah, I don't know. I think one of Soule or Grasso probably wouldn't be on the 53-man roster. Probably Soule, like you said. But, yeah, Kush, definitely a big blow for the depth in general.
Yeah. Next part about the 53-man, the Bears kept 11 defensive backs. We knew they signed Amukamara and Marcus Cooper this offseason. I think those will be your two starting cornerbacks. And then I'd say right now, I'd say Cravon LeBlanc has the edge on Bryce Callahan to be the main man in the nickel package. Obviously, Quinton Demps is going to start at safety. And when we saw, and then speaking of the Tennessee Titans game, Adrian Amos got reps with the third team, and Eddie Jackson didn't take a step on the Cleveland is when none of the starters played, and Amos saw some time where Eddie Jackson did not. So I think that says right there that Eddie Jackson will be your starting free safety, which is really good to see that he's gotten healthy, and I'd say he has, next to Demps, some of the best ball skills in the defensive backs category of the Bears roster. So when talking about the other guys, I'd say probably a couple guys will be inactive on game days. Deion Bush, probably a special teams guy. McManus, along with special teams. My question for you is, do you see Kyle Fuller having kind of like a substantial role in game days, or is he going to be just a backup?
I mean, I think they're going to figure out a role to put him on the field enough. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a starter. I think he'll mostly be a rotational piece, but, you know, you never know with, you know, Marcus Cooper's had some inconsistencies in his career. So I think for, even Amukamara were to, you know, not be all that impressive within the first few weeks, I'd be confident with starting Fuller out there. You know, he had a pretty good preseason, and, you know, he's showed promise in the playing time that he's had. Obviously missed all last season with the injury, but rookie year was very impressive. Second year, not as good, but there were still flashes of, you know, potential there, definitely. So I wouldn't write him out just yet. I think he can still have a, you know, pretty sizable role in this defense, especially considering that they don't really have a true number one shutdown corner. So I think he's going to get a decent amount of playing time this year.
Yeah, and especially with the inconsistency of Amukamara in camp and preseason, he dealt with several injuries that sidelined him for, you know, weeks at a time. So I'd say, yeah, if one of those guys go down, either Cooper or Amukamara, that Kyle Fuller's your next man in, because I don't think the Bears really want to put LeBlanc or Callahan on the outside. I think they see them better as covering a slot receiver rather than going,
yeah,
you know, put them out on outside on an island by themselves. So, yeah, obviously Fuller mm-hmm. could see a good role there. Talking about the safety position, right? Again, you got Demps and Jackson as your projected starters. You'll have Amos as the backup, and then Deion Bush, if worse comes to worse, you put him back there. What do you think about Amos's role and his is he in question for staying on the team long term?
I think he very well could be in question with being on the roster in the long run. Because, you know, Demps appears to be the starter, and, you know, that shouldn't change barring, you know, a huge decline from last season or injury. And Eddie Jackson, I think, definitely should be the starter opposite Demps, considering that, you know, he's proven that he can play in the NFL, and he's recovered well from his injury. You know, a lot of people have said this before, but before Eddie Jackson got his injury, a lot of people viewed him as like a late first round, early second round pick, and the Bears were able to get him in the fourth round. And it doesn't really look like Jackson's been slowed by that injury, which is definitely a good thing for their future. And I think Jackson could be a long-term starter, which kind of puts Amos in question. And, you know, especially considering Demps is in his 30s now, they could be looking to add another safety for the long run, maybe not this year, but next year in the draft. And if someone younger and better were to step in, I think Amos could be in danger of getting cut.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say if for some reason the Bears lose another player to IR, hopefully that doesn't happen. I think Amos could be like one of those guys where the Bears – he's probably on, like, the top of their wave list if they're going to add another player to replace somebody. He just hasn't – we all know that he can tackle. He can play inside the box and come up and hit. But his range and his playmaking ability with turnovers has not been there. Again, he has no interceptions in the first 2 years in the league. Where Eddie Jackson has that range and ball skills, we saw that in camp in the preseason, that, you know, it's not a problem for him to go out there and make plays. We saw it at Alabama. And also, Eddie Jackson brings, you know, the punt return factor as well. So, yeah, I think Amos is on a short leash, you know, whether it's in practice reps or when he gets a chance to go in during games. He's got to really show that he is valuable depth for the Bears secondary, and he should stick around.
Yeah, I definitely think that Amos is going to have to work on his ball skills a lot this year because, you know, like you said, he hasn't had any interceptions in his 2 years in the league, which is definitely concerning for someone who's been the starter. I think he could also, you know, work to prove his value on special teams, which shouldn't be too hard to say, too hard to do, because like you said, you know, he's a hard hitter, a tackler. So I think that if he puts a bit more focus into that, he's probably stand a better chance of staying on. But if he wants to even get back his starter spot, then I definitely think that, you know, improving his ball skills, you know, causing turnovers would definitely, you know, make his roster spot more secure in the coming years.
Yeah, very agree. He's got to work on that if he wants to stick around. Lastly, as we're approaching 5 minutes left in the podcast here, so week one, we got the defending NFC champion Atlanta Falcons coming to Soldier Field. Pernell McPhee, say McPhee, Lawn, and Trevathan are all healthy. Bears go into this one with everyone on deck. What's your prediction for Sunday?
You know, I'm personally predicting a loss to the Bears this week because if you look at it, the Falcons are even a better team than they were on paper last year because, you know, they didn't lose any offensive players of note. And they added Dontari Poe to their defense, which I think is going to be an interesting move. Only real loss that they had this year was Kyle Shanahan, their offensive coordinator. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how their offense functions without him. I don't think it's going to be a huge difference. I mean, obviously, I don't think Matt Ryan's going to have another MVP season. But I think their offense is still going to do well, and their defense is better than it was last year. And just considering how incomplete the Bears are, especially on offense, I don't really think they'll be able to pull out with a victory this week.
Yeah, again, it's just game one of the season. You can't really put a whole lot, I'd say, into, you know, as you did week 10. Like, you know, you see how the teams have progressed. You see how the records are. But I'd say week one, anything can happen. But, the Bears don't have a lot of weapons at the wide receiver position. I think it's really going to come down to if the Bears really want to stay in this game and pull out a win, it's going to depend on the running game. The offensive line's got to show up, and, you know, they're going to hand the ball off 20 to 30 times, whether it's to Howard or all the other backs this game, because it's Glennon's first start. You know, they even said in the preseason they had to get, you know, Glennon confidence up with screen passes and short throws. I think that comes to a little bit of a worry for me that, you know, they can't just get right into it and start, you know, throwing, you know, posts and go routes and stuff like that. So Glennon's you know, his production in the offense, you know, was scarce in the preseason. We saw that. He didn't really do too much besides that long drive versus Tennessee. His wide receivers are not, you know, at the best calibers as the Bears want to be or as we as fans want them to be. So it's really going to depend on the running game and then the front seven. The Bears front seven is the strongest point of their roster. They really got to shut down the running game, Devonta Freeman from the Falcons, and then they got to take away the football. We know that's been a problem for the Bears the past couple seasons. They added Demps, 6 interceptions last year. They got Eddie Jackson back there. They got Marcus Cooper had around 5 interceptions last year. So you got to take away the football. You got to stop the run. And the Bears got to get the run going because I think that's the only chance they're going to be able to put up points on Sunday.
Yeah, I definitely agree that running the ball is going to be a huge, you know, component if the Bears want to win this game. And also, I think the Bears' secondary is going to have a big test of this Atlanta passing offense, especially with Julio Jones. They'll probably have, Amukamara there. But, you know, that's going to be a huge test for them right off the bat because they've also got, you know, deep threat like Taylor Gabriel, and we've got Muhammad Sanu out there. So it's a talented bunch, and I think, you know, the front seven is going to be able to get the job done against Atlanta's offensive line. But I think it'll be eventually the secondary that'll have to keep them in the game defensively. And then, like you said, just running the ball is going to be a huge part of whether or not the Bears win this game.
Yeah, the Bears definitely don't have a cupcake game to start the season. They got a big test right away, and they got to show up in all phases of the game if they want to stay in it or pull the win out. That's going to bring us to the end of the show. Jacob, thanks for joining me as you have in the past, and hope to have you on again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. I really enjoyed my time here, and I'm hoping to talk in more Bears during the season.
Yeah, same for me as well. Again, listeners, you can follow Jacob on Twitter at JacobInfante24. He's a Bears writer for SB Nation, and he's also a social media director, national writer for Cover 32 NFL for the Bears. And he also does a little bit of NBA writing for the Bulls on RotoDen. Again, you can find all this information and all his articles on Twitter at JacobInfante24. Jacob, thanks for coming on again, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks for having me again.
Again, that was Jacob Infante of Cover32NFL.com and Windy City Gridiron. I'm your host, Thomas Gibbons. You can follow me on Twitter at Thomas Gibbons_3. Thanks for tuning in.